Okay, I want to call a special meeting of WPCA to order at 6:37. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to
Allegiance
the flag
by the
the United States of
States of
America
America
and to the
and to the
Republic for
Republic,
which it
which
stands,
stands
one
one
nation,
nation under
under
God,
God, indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty and
liberty and
justice
justice
for
for all.
all. Okay.
Present.
I roll call. We'll just say that all members of the committee, except for Charlie Sampson, are present. We're also being joined by Ed Abel and Brian Hall, who will be making a presentation tonight and getting us going. So we'll start with the public portion. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak? Second time, anyone from the public wish to speak? Third and final time, anyone from the public wish to speak? Hearing none, I'd ask for a motion to close the public portion.
Motion.
Do I
Motion to
hear a
close.
second? Okay, do I hear a second? You're muted, Bob. You're still muted. Hit that microphone button.
Or the space bar.
Oh, yeah, or the space bar could do it too. Click on the three dots then at the upper right corner of your picture. Well, maybe not. Well, raise your hand if you're seconding that motion, Bob. There you
Okay,
go.
how about now? There
You're
you go.
there. All right, so you want to
Yep.
second the motion?
Second.
Okay. All in
Yes.
favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Okay, public portion is closed. Brian, I think we'll go right into it with you. I'm going to close, stop sharing. I hope I'm going to stop sharing.
I don't think you were in the first place, but.
Oh, okay. Well, because Brian needs to show it. And this is the first time for Brian meeting everyone, but Brian's got the tough task of putting things back in order if they ever were in order. I don't think we've ever felt they were in order. Looking forward to that. And Brian, I have a lot of questions. I don't know if other people do. I don't think we can get this done on one session tonight, but I think you've gone a long way already to start getting us on the correct path moving forward. So I'll turn things over to you and you can share your screen.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jack. Unfortunately, yeah, I was having problems with my computer, my work computer on the audio side, so I switched to my personal one. So would you be able to share your screen on the file and I'll just walk through it?
Hang on a second.
Mr. Chair, are you expecting Mr. Sampson?
Yeah, I didn't hear anyone be
Okay, no,
removed coming right in.
I don't want to look away from the screen if he's going to be coming in.
All right, can you now see the screen?
Yep.
Spreadsheet. Again, I added some stuff to this, Brian, but
Yep, sure.
all
No,
your stuff is there.
no problem. Okay, good. So, yes, like Jack said, I've been spending a lot of time trying to figure out how everything's been working at the WPCA. I've had Marcy spend a few hours with me to get some of her expertise. Got QDS downloaded on my system now. I'm getting a lot more comfortable running some reports. One of those I sent Jack. So, maybe, we depending on where you want to start, Jack, we can talk about that revenue report. We can just jump right into the budget file. We do have that issue around cash and balance sheet to talk about. So, you tell me where you'd like to start.
Well, why don't we go? Well, you're talking about the QDS file?
Yeah, the QDS file. We can start with that if you want with revenue, or we can just go here. You should see a lot of similar numbers when you go back and forth. So, the QDS is, for those of you who aren't aware, right, is sort of the new tax collector and tax assessor software that was put in last year. It replaced Gemini or GEMS, as it's referred to. It's getting up and running. It's not perfectly synced yet with our accounting software, which is Zobrio or MIP. So there are still some challenges going on between connecting all the systems and getting to that end state. But right now, what I've been able to do between toggling between the two different systems, building some reporting, get it to a place where at least I've got a general understanding here of how things work. The 23-24 budget is the numbers you're probably familiar with. And just so you're all aware, because I wasn't, most of these numbers, so for instance, residential revenue, 44910, 1.9 million. The way that works is, you know, you come up with your consumption from the previous quarters times our fee rates, and you get to 1915368. Now, that number assumes everybody collects at 100% collection rate, okay? But what it doesn't include is anything from back taxes or anything from the prior grand list years other than 23. So the way that that has been budgeted in the past, I think on the revenue side, is they focus on the current year grand list and they assume 100%. And then they don't really factor in a lot of the back tax portion of it. Having worked through the city's budget, you know, this was really something that we worked to refine and fix and change to provide a lot more clarity and visibility around the two different pieces so that we could really track how am I doing on the current grand list year as far as my collection rates go, how have I historically done in, you know, for those collection rates, and then what are my back taxes look like? I want to start to move the WPCA to the same place with their reporting and how we do it so that you're looking at the two pieces kind of separate. So that's just a little bit about what's there now. It's also between the residential revenue and the commercial revenue. You know, these are broken out by these different districts, and that's how they're flagged in our system. So I've got my arms better around what those districts are, what's the different pricing and fees associated with the districts, and then been able to go into some of these districts where we had zero collection rates. And, you know, it turns out it was things that the state had sent money to the city and the city hadn't yet sent it back to WPCA and booked some of the accounts. So there's been a lot of learning. You know, I had to figure out with Ansonio how to build their reporting to send them their numbers, because we bill on their behalf. And then they you know, we keep a portion of it. So look, lots to learn about all of this. The big key that's got done most of the way, but is still now in this final stage, is getting that water usage from RWA and Aquari, which I've got for quarters. And it's with our partners at QDS to now load it into the system so that we can get the grand list year for our budget, right? So what you see on here for the preliminary budget, you know, is going to change. All it is right now is I worked off of the 23-24 budget numbers. I gave it a haircut of 90%, okay, because we know we're not collecting it 100%. You never have collected it 100%. And then I added a line for other revenue back taxes, which, you know, you've got an actuals column, so you can start to see, well, this is how much we've collected in back taxes, and this is how much, you know, we're thinking of budgeting. At the end of the day, all of this revenue numbers are going to change. I think I'm really hopeful that QDS gets it in. They get it uploaded in the next week or so that we can have work off real numbers. But, you know, that said, I want you to understand the process and where we are with it and some of the changes I'm thinking of making. And then there'll be subsequent reporting changes that follow along with it, right? So that you can look at the budgets. When you're looking at this reporting, you can see, all right, what is my collection rate? How are we coming in? Is there any, you know, how's residential versus commercial and so on?
Let me make a few comments, Brian, and tell you my understanding of what this was previously. And again, we all want to get on one page. We're all doing the same thing with the same stats. But in the past, we would, Marcy would prepare a spreadsheet, probably two spreadsheets. One of the number of EDUs. Did she explain EDUs to you?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So that's a fixed rate. Okay.
Yep.
I forget what the fixed rate per EDU is.
Yep.
And then the rest of the was the consumption. Okay. So then we had to take how much we needed and divide the EDUs into the water use or and that's how we came up with the rest of the money, because the bill is composed of two parts. Okay. The EDU and the water usage. Okay. So there were two components. When people get their bill, they see both of those and then they see the total. And then they get a separate bill for the capital fee. And that's based just on the number of EDUs, nothing else. Okay. And they're different rates. And in the past, what we ended up doing was the figure that went in here was what was built. Okay. And I think that was something the auditor told us to do, because one of the things you just mentioned, we don't collect 100% in the same year. But in the past, as soon as we arrived at that figure, let's say it was 1,915,368, that was then put into the revenue side right then and there. And so what you're suggesting is we don't want to do that anymore. We want to do that minus the predicted uncollectible, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So that's a big change. You see, that's what I was trying to do over here. I went to this column. I see, you know, this revenue is down 191,000, et cetera, but that's because of the way you're calculating. But this number will change because we haven't factored in the water usage yet, correct?
Correct. The actual water usage based on the four quarters that we're going to, you know, we've already materialized. So,
right.
You know, what QDS will do, to your point, is it does both parts, right? It does the EDU calculations, it does the water usage, and it comes up with a new number. I will tell you what that new number is, and then I'll walk you through some reporting that says, here's what I think the collection rate is we should budget for. And right. And then this will be the reporting that go forward we'll use to track to see how we're doing and how close we're getting.
Right. So that's a major change from what we had in these columns in the past, okay? And, again, I agree with you. It makes more sense, but it is that's a major change. And, you know, someone looking at this quickly is going to say, wow, and there it is, 9%. That's what you did, okay? So that's a major change for members of the committee to understand that, because it applies there. It also applies down here. Well, no, it doesn't apply down. Well, yes, it does, because these were booked at 100% too.
Okay. Yeah, they're all booked at 100%. And so, in that prior year column,
yep.
I haven't gone back to try to break out prior year versus current year. So while it looks like a big drop versus prior year, what's happening is all those back taxes are rolling into there. So you see how in the actuals and the preliminary budget, there's, you know, 409,000 and 450,000, but there's nothing in prior year. So there's some geography going on between back taxes collected in the prior year reporting that's now rolling into that residential revenue. And I think that's historically how you've looked at it. But I want to move away from it because I want to break it into its pieces and really track it based on the drivers that are meaningful.
Yeah, we never would see these numbers the way you've got here. What we would get is that, Kelly and Bob, if you remember, we would get that spreadsheet that showed from, I think, back to 2007 and 2005, and it gave us the percentage on the right-hand side, but it wasn't broken out like this. So, and those weren't included in the budget reports that we got either, okay? The only thing in our budget report, this was in here as 100% at the beginning of the year, and was still in there as 100% at the end of the year, whether we collected it or not. And if we got lucky, this number up here that you're adding now, or this account number, would have made up for that difference. So we
right.
wouldn't have gotten in trouble.
Yeah. And if you look at column E, this is why I think it's really important we make this change, right? Because I really do think there's a problem with our collection rates this year. right? Especially on the residential side. The 71% at this point in the year is really low. I mean, even Marcy said it. I compared it to a year ago running these reports.
Yeah.
So there's a problem. Now, we'll send out all of our delinquency notices. People will see the liens, and hopefully it catches up. I don't know what happened. We'll have to see. But, you know, that would be skewed if that 409,000 was layered into those numbers. It might not look as bad, right? And so, again, it's another reason why if we line everything up, you can really track, like, what are my collection rates? Do I have a problem in the current year, which is the most important year? And where is it? Is it on the commercial rep? You know, is it on the commercial side? Where, again, if you look within the accounts, there's a couple of accounts that were 0%. So, you know, start working on that and get it cleaned up. You know, that number is going to jump way up. It's the residential one that we've got to, you know, I got to stay on the tax collector, got to make sure the notices go out. And we are really hyper focused on this number in the next, you know, month or two to see what happens, you know.
And when would those notices normally go out? Right after March 31st?
Yeah, because typically right during the regular cycle, you know, before everybody's going to get interest and liens on it, it was almost, I ran the report, I don't have it in front of me. I wanted like 10 points lower than prior year, right?
Yeah.
So where we were at the same time prior year. So I'm not sure. I won't be shocked if it turns out that people weren't getting their notices or something happened, and we're going to get a lot of complaints from people. Oh, you're charging me interest and I never got my statement or whatever. We'll just have to kind of keep an eye out for that. But
yeah, because 71% is awful.
For this late, for April, and I ran at 422, and like I said, I feel a lot more comfortable now with all the reporting, at least on the QDS side. Right now, still issues with QDS to MIP or accounting system, but for, you know, from all intents and purposes, these should be good numbers coming out of our tax collector side. And you know, I've got it on his radar, and you know, we got to really start figuring this out.
So. Okay, so we know that there's a lot of work to be done here and down here, getting the records to balance. So that's an issue on the income side. I had a question here. You've got 44903 interest income, savings, and checking. And of course, prior year actual. And now down here, this is the new one. Okay. Is 46101 going to replace 44903?
Yeah, we'll keep everything in 46101 go forward. And you know, I don't care which one it goes to, but it's easier to not have to reclass everything and just leave it where it is and just use that go forward.
Okay, so basically this is going to kind of disappear going forward.
Yeah, once we take off prior year actuals, that you won't see that anymore. And I mean, and you know, look, when you're comparing it, you can add up the 20 and the 17 and go, hey, there was no interest in prior year, and now I'm on track, got almost 200,000 so far, a couple more months to go. Probably going to be around, you know, 220, 230 or something like that, is a fair number.
Plus, you just discovered we could put a little bit more into that STEM account.
Yeah, so the 250 is maybe even a little conservative for next year's budget number. I'll refine that. But I also wanted to have this other conversation with you about operating expenses versus capital. And how, you know, what we've been doing and what we've been paying with those, and why you've got so much cash sitting in the capital bank, you know, your capital accounts and your bank accounts. It's great, we're earning interest on it, but I don't think that was the intent. And we have to do something differently, you know.
All right, let me ask a couple of other questions here. Let's see what I've got. Oh, these two, and these are so minor. But Ed, maybe you can help us. We had these two accounts here where we had paid for these repairs that were done. They were emergency repairs, and then the homeowners in this area were supposed to be billed. And I don't remember how many years it was, but my question here is, did bills go out, and do they still owe us money?
Yeah, so look, I can answer that because I talked with Marcy. So the guy at 186 came in and he paid the 773, which was half. I think his total is like one, you know, double that, I guess. So he is still making payments. It took us a while to figure out who, you know, where this payment came from or what was going on. And then when Marcy came in, she figured it out. I've got a folder on the Dobeck one. So I've got to follow up to see, you know, my worry is that somehow a check, he's sending the checks, but because no one was aware of this arrangement, they didn't know what to do with it, or, you know, it went somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, it's small enough. You know, it's not something that people were sending out bills for. The way Marcy explained to me is they sort of knew they had to come in and pay us. We can absolutely start sending out bills to them to remind them of the payments for sure. So I'll have that as a takeaway, just, you know, going forward.
It's not a lot of money, but once they're paid up, then it goes off the books, and we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, well, it's on like this old school accounting ledger paper that Marcy's been keeping track of forever, and it's a long time too, so it's not going anywhere anytime soon. But yeah, so that's those two accounts, and we'll dig up more of those.
And, you know, again, we don't have the, you know, the balance sheet that you were talking about, but it, you know, a lot of this stems from the fact that, you know, the bills for the referendum were not on our books. Okay, this is only put on ours the year Agatha left. You put it on ours. So there was a whole other accounting. And I can dig up an old spreadsheet that was kept. I think the last one I had was from 2021 showing all that. But, you know, I really didn't want Agatha to put it on our books until she gave us a full accounting for it. But they kept all that money separately, you know, where they were paying the bills and they had the cash. I guess that would be the cash they got from the bonds themselves. We had the cash when people paid their capital fees. Okay. That would have been on our books. We would have collected that money, but all the bills and everything else would have been, I don't know where. I can't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a separate account, right? So the way to think of it is, you know, you did the referendum for 30 million. You actually drew down 20 of that 30 million, right? So now what you're doing is you're paying back the interest and the principal on the 20 million over the life of the deal, which is like was 30 year deal, right? So now the way it probably should have worked is you do the referendum. We want to take out 30 million. There's going to be 10 million in interest. So let's say we need $40 million from the Derby residents. So now they're going to pay capital fees every year for 30 years, and it's going to add up to $40 million. And as the capital fees come in, we're going to pay down the bond debt and pay down the interest on the bond with that $40 million. So in, out, right? That's realistically, in my mind, how it should be working. But it's not working that way. The way what's happening is, we're paying down those interest and those bonds with the cash from the capital accounts.
Right.
And so that likely means what's been happening is we've been really kind of too high on some of our sewer use fees and getting too much operating revenue to cover those costs. And
now on the capital fees, just the capital fees though, Brian.
No, I'm talking about the sewer use fees, because the sewer use fees are the ones you're paying the capital bonds with. So think of it like this. You've got an operating account and you've got a capital account, two cash accounts, right? We've been paying all of the bond debt and all of your operating expenses out of the operating account. So you basically got no cash in that account. But on the capital side, all these capital fees have been coming in and nothing's been going out. So now there's $8 million sitting in there in the bank. Well, you can't keep going like this, because what's going to happen is, if you kept playing it out like this, one, you're going to be, you know, what'll happen is you'll pay down all the bonds, you'll spend all the money, and you'll have $40 million sitting in the bank account.
Right, but here's the way that it was done. I'm not saying it's right, but every year you come down here, and we were given this schedule of what we had to pay every year, and you've already plugged in the number for next year. Okay.
Yep.
This is what we paid last year, or I hope we paid. And this is what you're projecting for next year. And again, that's coming right off that schedule, right?
Right. It's coming right off the schedule. But my point is, which bank account is it coming out of, right? From a balance sheet perspective. And right. It should be coming out of your capital account, your cash at your capital account.
Yeah.
From all the capital fees you've been collecting. And it's right. Not. It's coming out of your operating account.
Yeah, see, that's nothing that we have anything to do with. I would assume all of these right here that we just talked about, I would have assumed every dime of that was going into what I would have called a reserve account for that. I'm not using the right term, but I am using the right term to say it was reserved only for that, couldn't be used for anything else.
I totally agree with you. And that's how it should have been being done. And because it hasn't, like I said, when I started doing the balance sheet, I noticed it right away. Like, oh, wait a minute. I'm looking at the cash account and I'm almost negative at this point on the operating account. And I've got $8 million in the cash. I'm like, this is just way too much money. You know, like I said, I was with you. I'm like, all right, maybe there's a reserve and I'm going to pay it down in the future. But then I started talking to Nancy and I was like, wait a minute, this is just being done completely wrong. So.
You're under the impression, Ryan, we're under the impression that this was paid yearly out of all the money that we would transfer into that capital account. You know, we didn't know it was coming out of our operating expense also.
I know, right? And I don't know how you haven't been negative in operating.
Yeah, yeah.
But that tells me that, again, you've been, and John made the comment to me, man, he's like, the operating, your sewer fees are too high. And I'm like, well, because he was also probably thinking something similar. And because when I looked at this, because that's when Nancy goes, well, you got to raise the sewer fees. And on the operating side, I'm like, there's no way we need to. It doesn't make any sense. And that's when I dug into it. And I'm like, well, yeah, you do if you got to pay everything out of there, but we shouldn't be. You should only be, if you add up that top section, that's really what goes for your operating, and the other stuff is going to pay off your bond debt. And the same thing down below, right? Your expenses, that bond debt expense goes against the capital improvement revenue you're collecting. And right. Everything else goes against operating. If you do it that way, you got plenty of money in both sides.
And Brian, that's basically the way that we understood it.
Yeah.
That's what we thought was happening.
Right. So look, I will change that starting with this year's books, because they already had took it out of operating. So I'll make the switch, which will then give you a decent balance in your operating account, which honestly you should be a little closer to break even, but you'll definitely have maybe $1 million in there when we get said and done at the end of the year. And you're still going
to
have a lot
of budget to break even. We always did break budget to break even based on the figures that we were given. Now it turns out, as you say, there was some other income coming from past years. And again, until you see the audit, we would never know that.
Yeah, and look, it was the same problem on the city side. Because everyone's just looking budget versus budget versus budget, you never get it grounded in reality. And the reality is either you're collecting more revenue or you've got a lot less expenses. And that's what was creating all this cash flow that you were able to then use to pay off all your bills and do everything. And then you got all this money sitting in the bank for capital fees, which, it's a good thing because you're going to need it, but it's, you got to be a little careful because the referendum was for $30 million. And really you've kind of gone up, you're going to be potentially go above and beyond that, depending on how we do things go forward, right? Yeah. So, you know, we can fix it and figure it out, but we got to be aware that it was happening.
Yeah, in my mind, I've always, you know, again, I said it before, reserve. I thought all that money was reserved. And I don't know where in the books, because we don't get all those reports. I thought it was always reserved, again, could be used for nothing else. And if that had been done, we wouldn't have an issue. You wouldn't even be discussing this.
Right. Yeah. But you also wouldn't have $8 million in there, right?
Oh,
you
I
would
know.
Have used, we, you would have been we, using a lot of that over the and you would have seen all this money in your operating account, and you would have gone, well, something's wrong here. Like I said, either we're collecting more money than we think, or we're having a lot less expenses every year than we think, and it's accumulating and building up and building up. So,
but again, I don't think we've been collecting more than we should have on the budget. It's only because of these capital fees and maybe some income that's being reported to us. As you say, you put that line item in here. We never saw that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that could be some of it. I agree. I think it's probably a lot lower expenses, maybe, over time, because this has been going on probably for 10 years. So,
Well, the bottom line is, let's get this straightened out to make this process work the way it should work.
Yeah. So
that's one of the reasons we haven't approved a financial report in a couple of years, because we couldn't get an understanding of what's in there.
Anything else up here? So, look, the good news is that, you know, we'll figure this out. You've got a lot of extra cash that we can figure out what to do on the capital side. But, you know, when you look at the revenues, the $5.2 million, I really wouldn't expect it to be that far off once the actual water usage is uploaded, because we're not going to change the rates. We're not going to change the fees. So unless water usage materially changed, this is probably a pretty good number. And it's, you know, benefited by the $415,000 on the sewer connections for the two new apartments that are going up, and on the interest earned, right? So $5.2 million, I think, is going to be a pretty good number. Now, look, it's certainly more than enough to cover on the capital side that bond debt, you know, that's down below, and then put a little bit extra in the bank to cover future payments. And then what's rest should easily cover your operating expenses and this preliminary budget.
It doesn't need the finance director.
All right. Now, I do have one question on that, because Ed had raised an issue with the impact fee. And at one point you said you thought that was restrictive, but I didn't think it was. And I've asked the corporation counsel for an opinion, but no, my feeling was that money just goes into our operating account rather than capital expenses or anything. It's not reserved.
Fortunately, it is going to take time.
Is that what corporation counsel has said? Because I was always under the impression that any impact fees were supposed to go to any capital improvements per state stature.
I think these capital improvements, those are reserved. That's what we were talking about before. The impact fee, that's what I've asked him for an opinion on, because Brian, you know, is showing that we can use that, and I think he's correct. I don't know of any restriction on it. And of course, we never had any. There was nothing coming in. So all of a sudden,
at this point, I haven't really mapped out the revenues and the expenses, and look, if it's helpful, we can easily start to do that, where here's the capital revenues, here's what's going to be capital expense, and you do that as a section, and then the difference, right, if you collect more revenue, that goes into your kind of reserve for future payments. I agree. I'll follow up too and do some research on the 415 to see if we can use that for operating or not. But
okay, and we use the term capital improvements. Okay.
Yeah.
I think for us, these three lines, capital improvements, that wasn't just a capital improvement. That was only for bonded expenses. Okay, you could do a separate project on that. So, you know, I don't know if we need to call these two different things at the end of the day. But again, we never expected to touch a dime of this money other than to pay off the bond expenses. That's all it could be used for. And anytime there was a question, we would get an opinion like we did for Emmett Avenue. Could that money be used for Emmett Avenue because of the bonding word? And we're told yes. So we never use any of that money for any of our own regular capital improvements. It's only used for capital improvements related to the referendum from 2014. So just need to clarify that. And anyone else want to jump in on that?
But that's your choice, right, Jack? That I don't know that you have to do that. I think that's plenty of, I mean, that was the, it makes sense, don't get me wrong, but I, you know, we I just want to make sure, you know, is there like a rule or a law or something versus, you know, this was what we've decided as a board to do.
That was just the impression that I was always under, and I think all of us were under that. So bottom line is we've never used any of that money for anything but bond-related expenses, ever. Okay.
Yeah, those are all the
You've never used it on bond related expenses.
So well, we did, but the accountants didn't. Okay, we didn't know that. Again, I think we've always been very open about all this. You'll see it in the minutes and whatnot. Yeah. You know? We treated them. We said, if you look at the meetings when we approved the bills, they were approved for bonds. Okay, or they were approved for our general operations. So we always separated them out. So,
and like you said about Emmett Avenue, we went to the bond council to find out if we could use it.
Right. Yeah, and the attorney as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and they said no?
No, they said we could use it.
Yeah, they said you could use it, right? Yeah. Because here's the challenge right now. Because you've had 10 years of doing this the wrong way, and you've got $8 million sitting in the bank account, you can't use that money to pay down the debt. You're still going to have extra money. So you're going to have to use it for other capital improvement initiatives, right? Like buying the press, for example. You're not going to bond out the money to buy the press. You're going to use it from the $8 million in the bank. So
yeah, because only because it's been approved as part of the referendum.
Right, agreed, right? And it's just we're getting into this weird area where, again, because it was done wrong, now, you know, you're not going to be following this path of every time I need money, I bond that money, which can be a good thing, because taking out bond money, you got to take it out in large chunks, you have huge fees. You know, just taking out of your bank account, you just pay for it, you're done. So at least for the next year, you've got plenty of money to cover those things. You know it was for the referendum. You know it's for the right thing. It's just how we got to this place was not ideal.
And here's where the cash will get a little tricky, Brian, okay? Because the dollars that came in from the bond, those weren't on our books. Okay, the dollars.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. Any money you borrow from the bonds is in a separate account, and right. The city's the same way. So you're tracking it. And that's the $20 million that's been spent right to date, and then you pay the interest on that. I mean, and like I said, you can borrow another 10 per the referendum. You could, in theory, bond out another $10 million, but. You know, likely we wait, we're definitely going to wait a year, because as you see at the bottom, that money's going to come out of the $8 million that's sitting on your balance sheet from all these capital improvement fees you've been collecting over the last 10 years, but doing nothing with.
So I guess my question would be, how much is left, and maybe you can't even get this anymore, how much is left of the dollars that were actually received from the bond? As opposed to, you said there was $8 million there. So how much of that is from what we collected for the capital fees, and how much of it is cash that came from the borrowing?
So none of it was from the borrowing. So all of it was from the capital fees, the $8 million. Everything from the borrowing got spent, $20 million got spent. So it's the $8 million on the capital fees. And I'm going to work with Barry to kind of confirm and just how much have we paid in bond debts and bond and interest over the last 10 years. I'm thinking it's probably around the same $8 million number, which would make sense. So I want to get that information and try to triangulate that piece of data. Then we'll know for sure that that's what happened.
All right, but there is one, the infamous Webster Bank checking account.
Yeah, that's your right. There was that's almost gone. It was that
all right,
really
that,
was your that was your $2 million. It started as $3 million. You paid it down. It was $2 million. That $2 million is practically gone now.
Right, but that was all the money that came from the bond.
Yeah, okay. That again was all part of that $20 million number. I'm telling
right,
you.
Right. Okay? I'm just trying to make that separation because in my mind I want to keep these separate. I need to know that we took the money for the capital improvements and we kept it separate and we did what we were supposed to do. That's the bottom line.
Jack, where's
the money? Right. At the end of the day, I think the key is understanding what the $20 million was spent on, and I know you really haven't historically gotten good answers for that. And so that's
almost
probably
none.
A follow-up thing.
Yeah.
And then circling back on the total cash number, you know, that we haven't been paying the bonds down on, and now what do we do with this money? And we'll use it to buy some of the, you know, do we effectively increase the $20 million? Let's say, because if there's $10 million left, we got $8 million. Do you have $18 million to play with? I don't think you've got that much, but I've got to figure out what's the right answer, because likely, again, as these capital improvement revenues were coming in, you know, you weren't supposed to spend them all, right? There was going to be some reserve to build up over time, because if you'd borrowed $30 million day one, then I would have said this, you know, somebody probably did the math and it would work out perfectly where the money I collect, you know, is paid out. But because you borrowed it over time and you still haven't borrowed all of it, those payments are going to probably extend past the time period, right? And you're not going to be collecting capital fees anymore. So you do need a reserve to cover that when that happens. That's what I initially thought it was all for, but it just is too big a number. And so now I've got to break it apart, figure out what do you actually need to pay down the bond debt versus what's just extra money that we got to figure out what to do.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page with that. We just would like to see that report because, as I said, you know, the problem we've had is we've never gotten good reports on this. Okay,
Jack, I'm still confused. What money did we use to pay the bond? We had to be paying the bond down from day one. It's been about, 7 years? Where did the money come from that we paid the bond?
I'm fairly confident that you...
Well, that from our perspective, that was this line item right here. That's what
right, and that's the number that was paid down for sure. But the question I think you're asking, Bob, is did it come from my capital account or did it come from my operating account cash flow? Right. And I think the answer is it came from your operating cash flow.
But how could that be if we had a separate account for paying the bond? Arbitrarily changed what we had as a budget? I thought we had number to pay the bond down. We didn't have a line item to pay the bond down?
Well, that's our line item right here. We had
that's the line item. So from all your reporting, it would have looked like it was getting paid. It did get paid down. Like, let's be clear. It was paid down.
Right.
You know, but which bank account did it come out? And that's the issue we're talking about, is it came out of the wrong bank account. And so what was happening is somehow, some way, you had enough operating cash flow to cover all your operating expenses and pay down this bond debt over these bunchy last years, which tells you, again, probably poor budgeting. And because you haven't had good reporting, you were likely way under in expenses than you thought, and it was covering some of these, you know, this debt service payments that you were making. So that's we'll change that, go forward, because you're out of it now, right? Because that's when I, you know, now your operating account is practically zero, if not negative. And that's what kind of triggered it with me. I'm like, wait a minute, none of this, raising the rate's not the right answer. Something else is going on. And now I know what's going on. So
no, I certainly don't anticipate raising any rate this year.
No, we shouldn't. And if anything, we're probably on the high side. So once we sort this out, we'll know that at least.
Yeah, because we've got these two line items of revenue that we haven't had. Okay.
Yeah. Right, so you got some rate.
There's $665,000 that we haven't had in the past.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's a perfect storm. You got more revenue. And, you know, and on the expense side, like if you scroll down, Jack, on the expense side, I mean, there's some big line items here. If you scroll down.
Well, here are the big ones. This is the big.
Yeah, well, those on the revenue. But on the expense side, like, for instance, where is it? You know, the collection system rehabilitation, you know, again, if you spend it all, great. But have we been spending it? Have you gotten any reporting that says you've been spending $300,000, you know, a year on that stuff? And then the other, on the bottom, there was a big one, $300,000 for capital, I think. You scroll down a little bit more.
Yeah, and now I'm not sure what this.
See, capital reserves, right? Like, again, $300,000. We haven't spent any of it yet. So those type of things, all of a sudden, you're $500,000 favorable to your budget. Boom, just like that, you know? And that, if that happens a few years, right, now all of a sudden you've got a lot of cash, and now you're paying off some of your bond debt, and you don't even notice.
Yeah.
So, well, again, you know, that's why looking at the actuals and forecasting out, you know, what's really happening is key with all, you know, with everything we're going to do go forward.
Yeah. The good news is up here.
Okay. This
is the good news. We just have to figure out how good it is. And we also have to be very cautious. Okay. Because, you know, we've gone down this road before with the interest earned. Remember when we had the sweep accounts overnight and we were collecting money? We're getting not like this, but we were getting $10,000, $15,000, $25,000, $30,000. And then interest rates went down. And we had to stop that because the fee to use the overnight account was more than the interest we were getting. That could happen with this, okay? The impact fee, we're only getting that now because finally this street is getting done and we're getting this income. But, you know, I would caution, we should not start budgeting and saying we're getting $415,000 a year here or $250,000 a year here because, you know, that is not safe money. Okay. Got to be very careful with that. I hope it continues, but I'd be very nervous about either one of those. Okay. But it's nice that it's there. It gives us a cushion for this year. Okay. But let's not go crazy with that.
I guess the impact fees were the high rise building they're putting in, right?
That'll be this year. That's this 415.
Right.
Okay, all of this over here, that would be fuel cell. And Ed, was that also the car wash?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so that's where all this came from. Neither of the apartments was in this. They'll be here. So this is an estimate.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can see previous year, the year before, it was only $9,000. So, you know, when you go from 9 to 415 and 552, things start looking a lot better. That's why we wanted to encourage some development to get those fees up. So it's working there. And, you know, I guess it would work up here too. We should see more revenue coming from those people as well. Okay. But that'll probably show up next year because they have no
water. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be in this year's grant list numbers. Well, there'll be no water consumption, right? So it won't be in there. Because there's no consumption.
Not this year, no. No, okay. Because they probably won't get their certificate of occupancy till September.
December.
Any other development, though, is going to boost that same number again, right?
Well, this is the boosted number for this.
It's two of them.
That's where the two buildings that are underway right now, but I would believe there's going to be additional building, right?
But when you think of the timeline from the time they're announced to the time they get to the point of getting on a tax roll, it won't affect us this year.
No, not this year, no.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And the boat's revisiting some of their incentives they've been giving, so they're going to make it more difficult for developers. So I don't know, it's something I'm going to go to the meeting tomorrow night and try to push back on them. But you know, because I think we need more development, and there's got to be incentives. If other cities are giving incentives, and we're not going to give any incentives, we're not going to get the investment. So
well, we Brian, for your benefit, we adjusted our rates to be more competitive with our neighbors. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. And look, I know some of the tax breaks they gave were just ridiculous before. So I'm not, you know, but the way they are now, what Roger put together is very reasonable based on the size of investment. He showed me it's in line with other cities. You know, he actually had somebody that wants to develop behind City Hall here and turn it into apartment complexes, but they wanted that incentive, and now the board wants to take it away. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, so I've got to go.
That'll be a challenge. But, you know, again, ours not an incentive. It's available to anyone coming in to develop. We are now competitive with our neighbors. So
yeah, right.
You know, did the right thing.
Exactly. You just got to be able to compete with the other cities, however it is, right?
Right.
Whether it's incentives or just lower rates.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Do we want to start tackling the expense side? Get a preliminary, even though.
Yeah, you let me know, Jack. I'm happy to stick on as long as you need. I think on the wages side, if you want to start there,
yeah.
There's a tab for wages. I think we open that up and we talk about on the next in Excel. You see down below. Click on the wages. Okay. So these are all of the current staff and their current rates. Assumes the 2.5% increase that's in the contract. So that's going to happen. We get to the new projected salaries. We factor in, again, contractual per longevity. So we've got that in. I guess what's up for discussion would be from the WPCA tax collector going to a full-time position versus part-time today. That is something that Anna, the new tax collector, was pushing hard for. She wants somebody there all the time. I mean, I also think having worked through this budget cycle, understanding a lot more of what Marcy did on the collection side, all of these random kind of one-off things, I could absolutely see this position taking that over versus staying with me. So I think, and then, so I think that's definitely one change in here. The other change in here is the Marcy position moving more to in-kind services, meaning that what will happen is it'll be a $60,000 expense on the WPCA books, and then it's a $60,000 credit on the city's books. And this is really a way of being more efficient as an organization, but still providing the same level of services.
I've expressed my concern how we get this done. I've got to tell you, I've been going crazy since September, and so is Ed. And I can't do this anymore. Okay. I'm a volunteer. I'm doing all these, I don't want to get into it. It's just been insane. But, you know, I want to make sure, you know, if we're paying for something here, that's going to work, that somebody is handling correspondence, somebody's sending out bills, somebody's preparing the agendas and doing all these mailings and contacting the attorneys, et cetera. You know, that's not my thing to be doing, and I'm doing it. Okay.
I'm taking over a lot of it, right? I'm going to meet with Cirillo on Thursday and start taking over the attorney side of it. And the budget got approved, so the admin position can be hired, I guess, July 1st, right? Which would then take away all of the administrative headaches that you're talking about, Jack. So, right. So that's, you know, it, between myself, AP, which I think is pretty much already transitioned to Jamie, Nancy doing a lot more of the accounting, and, you know, me handling kind of everything else, and then this new admin position taking over all of the admin work from you. I think that's the last piece. And, you know, again, we can even talk with the mayor about expediting that timeline now that it's approved and kind of done, because it's going to take a while to interview and find a person and get them in here, right? And it's end of April. So, you know, I would think we could try to push that along. And then lastly, Ed was looking for another operator in training position at kind of the lower level operator one cost. So,
do you want to talk about this? I did have one question for you. We have how many people? 8 now?
Including myself, there's 9. So we have 2 administrative people, Kevin and myself. And then you have 7 out in the plant in the field.
And how do we compare with the other plants in the valley in terms of size? I know you talked about the New England engineering, but how do we compare with the other valley towns in terms of staffing?
Well, we're on par. We're a little bit lower staffed than Shelton is. We're very overstaffed compared to Ansonia, because right now they only have 1 employee. But we're not where we need to be, but we're getting the job done. All the other towns, they don't have 37 miles of collection systems like we do. They don't run in the processes that we do. So the need for additional staff to be able to get everything done is challenging. And with a lot of the staff that we do have, they are senior staff with a lot of PTO. And between the PTO and, you know, if you have one guy that calls out, you have to readjust everything. In order for everything to run smoothly, we need everyone on staff every day, but it never works out that way.
You know, I have a question. This operating and training, what would be the salary after training?
Well, operator and training, we're looking for someone with experience in the field, but not an operator one. If they do pass their operator one within a year, then that rate would go from the operator in training, which is $70,824. That would go up to $72,551.96. So around $1,500-$1,600 more.
Okay, so coming back over here though, Brian, I looked at this quickly. You're basically saying all the salaries would go up by $103,000, but we'd save $10,000 in overtime based on that. But we would also have these increases too, right? We'd have to consider Social Security, Medicare.
Yeah, those are just a function of the salary expense. So
is there any way we can get a breakdown of what that position would actually cost us? Because again, the salary is part of it, but health benefits are a big expense. Pension, not as much, but it's an expense. But the employee health could be very significant.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, I can certainly look into that. I mean, right now, I've kept the employee health piece of it. A lot of these are obviously incurred on the city side, and then we allocate these costs back. And it's not a great process right now as far as getting to the low level of exactly what, the WPCA employees and the exact cost they incur. I want to get it that place, but I'm probably not gonna, I don't know that I'll have it done in time to change this budget materially. So, you know, we might just try to manage to these expenses, and we wouldn't necessarily ding you a whole lot more for this. The city would likely absorb it, but
yeah, again, I'm just trying to get a clearer picture when we make our decision on not just the impact for 1 year, but going forward. Same thing on the revenue side. So
yeah, it's so hard because, again, we're self-insured, right? If this person comes in and they're healthy, they might cost you nothing, right? Yeah. But if they come in, they get sick, or they've got family members that are sick, I mean, they might cost you 120 grand a year, right? Yeah. So, you know, you could say, well, on average, it's 30 grand a year or 40 grand a year per employee. You could do something like that, but you'll never really know. So,
yeah, let me just go down. I'll tell you the ones that I had questions about or comments about, and other people can weigh in too. I had obviously the health, you know, the workers' comp, all that, because again, we don't get those figures till the year is over. But let's see. 53, 40. This looks like it was maybe a one-time thing. I'm not sure what this was.
Yeah, I think those things just got coded there, right? There was obviously no budget there. They probably could be reclassed into a different line.
Yeah, I see you don't have it there for next year, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, no, I assume that it was really supposed to be somewhere else, and just a geography issue.
I had an issue with, not an issue. I made so many notes, and I'm trying to read them. But the bookkeeping, is this going to be a high enough? You know, the bookkeeping fee is really what we're paying for the audit. And I know the audit has gotten tougher and tougher. So is this a good number, or are we going to be paying more for the audit?
I think it's a good number. Look, if it's supposed to be based on the audit, they haven't really been allocating it to you. I saw some of the QDS software, which makes more sense to me, because I don't see that anywhere else, that's more of the accounting software allocation, which QDS costs, I don't know, $48,000. If you took 10% of it, that's $4,800.
But I think that in the past, I thought this number was our share of the audit.
Well, I mean, you look at prior year, there was zero, right? So if that's the case, either somebody didn't book the entry, which is, could very well be possible, right?
Very possible. Very possible.
You know, and John will catch it in the audit, because he's going to be, the other good thing is he's supposed to be finishing up his audit, you know, this week, next week, and get, you know, and that's the other thing I really hope is done and had a chance to incorporate in. Because to get to a balance sheet, I need that audit to be done. So I've got good starting points. Right. I've had these conversations. He's going to find a lot of these allocations. You know, if he finds anything else, that's when I can really get comfortable that we've got our expenses lined up. Because, you know, just looking, usually you can look at what the actuals are, what's budgeted, and you can feel pretty good about things. But not here. You know, you've got to really dig in, and I really got to wait till John's done.
Right.
But look, for now, Jack, I think it's fine until I.
The other one.
Let's see what the audit. Yeah. Let's see what happens with the audit.
Right. The other thing I was thinking about is the business forms. You know, right now we do two mailings for our billing. Okay. We do a mailing for the regular WPCA, and then we do a separate mailing for the capital fees. It seems to me it might make more sense to do that in one mailing and put all the bills in one envelope instead of paying twice?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's what the city does too. And, you know, again, this is an area where you look at postage, nothing's been incurred. So I don't.
Yeah, and we obviously pay. We all have
to right. Mail. It went somewhere. Somebody paid the bill, right? So.
Yeah,
I budgeted in there again because I know there's an expense, but I agree. Like that we should look at that.
Yeah, and then this other one I had down here, Brian, was this RWA and aquarium consumption. There's nothing budgeted here, but there has to be because that's what we pay Regional Water Authority to give us those numbers that we need to do our bill. So there's got to be a number for that. You see that here?
Well, yeah, the only thing I know, if you look up at row 70, the water company, where there's 15,000 budgeted and like no expenses so far to date, $488. I think this is a geography issue where a lot of those expenses, whether they're for RWA, Aquarian, or other, are probably hitting. You know, I don't know, but I'll look at it, Jack. You know, I just either the 15,000 is way too high because I don't have any expenses against it, or who knows? There could be a bunch of bills out there, and it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, because this would I just assume this was our own water usage, but this one again is the fee that we pay them for that data that they give us.
So I think. You know, as I'm looking at that, and this is something that Brian and I had talked about previously, because I wasn't sure about both of these accounts either. We had the water account, which is the $15,000, which is what I budget for the past couple of years.
Right.
But I think when the new structure came out and the new coding, I think I might have been charging it to the RWA Aquarian consumption as opposed to coding it to the water company.
Okay. All right, that would explain it. So I mean, hey, that's why we're going through this process. You know, we're all finding things that need to be changed to get us permanently in the right track. So that's okay. I understand that. I just, you know, again, when I saw it, I said there's nothing there, and I know we have to pay them for that data every year.
Yeah, so I think what we've got to follow up is, if you add 15 in the 5,600, should we be spending 20,600? You know, forget about the geography and budgeting 20,600 somewhere, or is 15,000 enough and doesn't need to get split up? So, and I have that as a takeaway. We'll try to figure out what's going on there on the water side. And then I think the next big one below it is the capital reserves, which is, you know, What was the original intent of the budget for the 306?
I think when that started, that was we were taking money out of reserve. I don't know why it says capital reserve. I think it should have been just reserves. I think we were taking that to balance the budget on years where the other revenue wasn't enough. So we said, okay, we'll take it out of reserves, but it, you know, we have to count it as an expense someplace. But probably should have been done through the other line items, not through that line item. But, you know.
Yeah, that one I'm still not following on that one, but
Either am I, Brian. And, look, you're the first finance director that's come to our meeting. Okay, it would have been nice if the other people came to our meeting. They probably didn't want to come because they'd hear me complaining about the reports that were never good. I appreciate it. We're not trying to put you on a spot. Actually, I think this is great. You know, we're going to get this straightened out this year and make all our lives a lot easier. Because it's been too hard. It really has. So,
yeah. Look, on the city side, they'll budget. Maybe we'll call it reserve. But let's just call it capital expenditures. Which, to your point, right earlier, where you said, "Hey, I want to invest in things that aren't necessarily per the referendum, right? And they're more capital type expenses. You can budget for them, and they come out of your operating account, your operating expenses. And that's when I looked at this with. Normally that was what this would be, but right. If you really don't have anything you're going to be buying outside of things that are in that referendum, you probably don't need this expense anywhere in your budget, right. Whether it was last year or the 200,000 for this year. you could probably come out, honestly. Like, there's no, yeah. You know, if you don't, if all you're going to, if you scroll down, if all, if that 1.3 million, or even if that 1.3 million is not enough for what you think you're going to spend per the referendum, as long as it's per the referendum, it goes in this section and doesn't need to be up in your operating section.
Right.
Which is really what, you know, and like I said, maybe we move down this bond debt service line into this other section. So you can say, here's my operating expenses. Here's my capital expenses.
Absolutely.
And then we break out the revenue the same way. And then do they balance? Right. And I think, you know,
totally separate.
Yeah. We keep them all separate, and it's a lot less confusing for everyone. Because I think, like, yeah, I don't think you need it. I think that, you know, so that's almost 1.6, you know, 1.57. So really, you got $3 million in operating expense budgeted. And if you back those two things out, you say, those are all my capital. And so that leaves $3 million for operating.
That gives us a clearer picture of what it costs to operate.
Yeah, because then if you scroll up and you say, okay, here's everything in revenues for operating, right? What's that number? So, you know,
it is.
Right. It would be pretty much everything but call it the 1.5 million. So, right. You know, almost 3.7 million. So, you know, again, and that's just, you know, maybe the sewer stuff you can or can't use it in there, but you're still more than covered on the 3 million plus a couple hundred grand, and that assumes you fund the new positions and everything else, right? So, now agree with you that those can be one time, but if you've got a couple hundred grand, or especially if you've got, you know, 500-600 grand, even if that sewer fees or the interest comes down, you're still, you know, in pretty good shape. And I still firmly believe that, and it, this is, you know, on us, on the finance team too, I couldn't project out your actuals, which is really sad because it's April 24th and there's only a couple months left in your fiscal year. And because, like you said, so many things get booked at the end or after the audit entries. And that's why getting to a real actuals number is key, because maybe that 3 million is only like 2.6 or something at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And actuals, and it's probably a little bit here and a little bit there, and it all adds up, you know?
It does. And it's hard. We're projecting next year's budget when we don't have this year's actual and we don't have last year's audited. So it makes it very difficult for us. So a lot of what we're doing is just an educated guess. And not a good educated guess. So
no, and I think that's why we've overshot. I mean, which is good, because the city was the other way, right? The city was constantly but under budgeting and coming in with higher costs. I think you've got the opposite thing going on, where you're over budgeting and you're constantly doing better than what your budget is. But either way, you know, it's still a problem, you know. So
right, we can get that corrected, but at least, you know, our ratepayers are not going to see an additional rate increase from WPCA on top of the 11.9% that they're going to face otherwise. So that's the good news from tonight. Okay.
I agree. There's no way we're raising rates.
No.
So,
Kelly, Bob, questions?
Well, I have some an interest here. I just noticed that we have paid off our skid steer and our camera truck.
Right.
We're not putting any money into truck replacement. I think that I know we've discussed this in the past, but I think we always did it after the budgets were set. I think we need to start putting some money aside for a new Vactor truck. New Vactor trucks anywhere from $700,000 to $800,000. I know ours is getting a little bit aged. I think there's been quite a few repairs done on it. I'd like to see us start building some sort of a annual kitty in there that we can use toward this. Maybe not have enough to buy the whole truck, but at least to keep a lease purchase low.
I have a question for you, Brian. How would we handle that? Because I agree with him. If we could you know, set aside, we know expenses are coming, if we can cushion ourselves against that by setting aside. But I've heard the alderman say that there's no mechanism for doing that.
No, I'll give you a good example, right? You got $306,000 right there in your budget this year that you don't have anything to spend on. But what you could do is you expense it and you put it in a reserve and you say, okay, I'm going to expense it. I'm going to put it in a reserve. Now you got the $306,000 in a reserve. If you budget $200,000 next year, right? Well, now you got $506,000 for your whatever you want to buy. Okay. So,
and you know, that's the term I've used several times tonight, reserve.
Okay. Yeah. You can create capital reserves, but and this, the way it works is, you know, rather than that 306 just going back into your cash account, your operating cash account, it just gets hung up on the balance sheet in the special reserve. And it just makes sure the auditor knows about it and so on. So
yeah.
You know, but that said, like again, there's a lot of money in capital fees. I know it's not necessarily for the referendum, but you're probably going to have to figure out somewhere to spend this money anyway at some point. So if there is a real big need for something like that, you might be able to use the funds for that. So
look, if we have a problem, it's going to be an expensive problem.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why we, you know, generally would need a higher reserve than some other things. Look at Ansonia, they had that one incident cost them $1 million. Okay. Just ourselves, all of a sudden we have to replace a blower. And, you know, that's $80,000. So it's be nice to have something set up in reserve, or as Kelly said, for things that we know are definitely coming. So, well, yeah, let's talk about that and see if we can build that in. Well, but I'm glad you said we can do it, because Brian, I went to a couple of meetings at Tax Board where they were talking about the problem in funding the 350th anniversary, because they were saying they couldn't set aside the money in 1 year so that it would carry over next. And you're basically telling me, yeah, they could have done it and should have done it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know for capital items, you absolutely can. I mean, maybe that because it was just the expense item. Maybe they weren't allowed to do that. And that would have been maybe per the charter, some weird thing in the charter. But you absolutely should be able to, you know, start to put reserves in. I mean, you've got it right here. You've already budgeted for this exact scenario. Now you just really need somebody on the finance side to execute for you.
Right.
So that it's there.
Okay. So I think we're all on the same page with that.
The other question I have is when this new squeeze press or whatever you want to call it, when we're in the process of installing it, we're going to be down. How is that going to affect us for like sludge removal? Are we going to end up having to make that line item higher, Ed?
The cost, to answer your question, yes. But I believe that was all incurred in the cost of the engineering report of what we're going to have to spend in additional in sludge to get it pumped out liquid compared to cake sludge.
Do we have enough in this coming line, this coming fiscal year, for what was projected in that item? I see sludge disposal. You went up $25,000. Is that going to be enough?
It possibly could.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there is a good chance it could be over as well. I have to go back to the engineer's report because I think money was set aside out of that 1.3 specifically for the additional cost of sludge. If you look where we are right now at 154,
mm-hmm.
You know, there is a chance that we we may be able to stay within that next year, even with the extra costs.
Okay.
You know, every year we try something different. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we've been doing things differently as far as sludge processing goes, which has, you know, been able to cut our costs back. I think for the past 2 or 3 years, our analysis has gone down and how much sludge we're getting out compared to what we're paying. The rates and the prices keep going up, but we're finding more efficient ways to do it. Okay. So it, you know, but yeah, all of that could go to the wayside. We could have one piece of equipment that goes down and there goes everything.
But as currently projected, if the new pump thing comes in and is in, you know, working order at the end of December, then we should see a reduction in the sludge anyways from January to June next year, no?
We should, yes. There's so a chance that if we
they
do
should offset over each other.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's so we're probably good on that.
Okay.
Good questions. Anything else?
I thought that we had talked about putting $100,000 away, or maybe it was something else, towards truck replacements with the Vactor. I think we did that last year.
Well, I don't see it here. I'm just looking at these line items. But you're right, Ed. We talked about it, but for some reason, I'm thinking we talked after we set our budget for the year. Uh-huh. And I think it was like a reminder to all of us that we said we better do this for next year. I may be all wet with that. I don't know, but I do remember the figure of 100,000 because we said that the skid steer and the camera truck would be paid off this coming year.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Well, and again, Ed, you got the 306, so you need 100 for a truck. You got the money this year in theory to use to do it. So.
So again, Ed, why don't you look at what our needs are over the next 3 years, and let's, you know, just like the city does, the capital lists.
Yeah.
Let's see what your capital list looks like, and we can address that next week.
Yeah, I wrote a capital list for the city when they requested one a few months back, so I will dig back into that and send it over to you.
Okay. All right. Well, send it to Brian because he'll put incorporated on the sheet. So. Anything else for Brian? I'm suggesting that we meet again next week because we'll have to come up with a number next week because then we'll have to advertise for the public hearing, which is the public hearing will be on May 15th. So we'll have 1 week cushion if we need it. But, you know, next week we should try to get the preliminary budget adopted because that will have to be part of the advertising for the public meeting. And it'll have to be published online. So does that work for you, Brian?
Yeah, sure. No problem. So I think, you know, feel free to email me with any questions or changes. I'll try to get as many answers as I can. I do not know if QDS will have everything loaded. Like I said, I'm not overly concerned that the numbers are going to change materially, but it would be nice to have the actual numbers in for the budget for sure. But I'll keep following up with them. I'll see if they can get it done. Like I said, at this point, they've got all the information. It's with them. I'll just got to create this urgency so they get the job done.
Okay. And you know, the good news again, we're all committed. There's going to be no increase this year, period.
Yeah, there definitely will not be an increase.
That's this good year. News about the meeting. And I didn't anticipate it because I knew we had that extra revenue coming in. So that's good. Didn't figure the two items coming off the capital either. So any other questions for Brian?
No.
You
know, the other item that was on the agenda for tonight, Ed, I'm going to ask that we table that because you know, I asked the attorney, Corporation Counsel, to give us an opinion on if we decide it's an emergency about going out to bid or if it can get waived. And I don't have an answer on that. So I'd rather just postpone that discussion until next week if it can hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So someone want to make it was only a discussion. So I don't think there was no action on that. So I don't think we need motion. We just discussed it. We're going to do it next week. And I did get two more quotes for repairs that I'll forward to people before the next meeting. So anything else?
Sir.
Well,
motion for adjournment.
Okay. Do we hear a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Okay. We're adjourned at 8:02. Look forward to next week finishing this up and getting a budget out and getting ready for a public hearing. So
you're here.
Good show.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Have a good day, everyone.
Yeah, all this stuff.